With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, Lark. I just got the best new earbuds. They're called Et from Studio.com. They're so comfortable and weatherproof.
Hey, I got a pair too. They're my first earbuds and they're fantastic. They come in their own little wireless charger case with a USB cord.
You can charge them anywhere and play them for up to 6 hours on a single charge. And I can use them with my iPhone, my laptop, or even my iPad Pro.
They're Bluetooth and noise canceling, and the built-in mic is great for making phone calls.
And they're pink. I just love them. Did I mention they're pink?
They come in several colors, actually. Anyone can get them on studio.com. Just use the code KUDZU for 15% off. KUDZU. Hey, Kim.
We're on day 3 of our Halloween week.
Ooh, what do you have today? I'm so excited.
I have the implements of torture during the Spanish Inquisition.
I love it.
And it's not for the faint of heart. So If you can't stand hearing a little gore, you might want to skip this episode.
Okay, noted. Hurry up.
Okay, so we've all heard about the Spanish Inquisition, right?
Oh, yeah.
At least I would think most of us have anyway. In the late 1400s, Queen Isabel and King Ferdinand, the King Queen of Spain, demanded that everyone in their country either convert to Catholicism or get the heck out. They put commissions together to make sure people were good practicing Catholics and not reverting to their heathen ways.
Yes, those heathens.
Jews, Muslims, and others were expected to convert. Mm-hmm. And when they did, they were called conversos. But even after they'd converted, they were regarded with suspicion and often blamed for things like poisonings of water and plagues and disappearances, mysterious disappearances of people. Mm-hmm. So they decided they needed to keep an eye on these people and make sure they weren't reverting to their old heretic ways.
Just faking it to make it.
So enter the Inquisition. Isabel and Ferdinand had heard of some of the heresy going on in Castile, Spain. So in 1478, they formed a tribunal. A clergyman by the name of Tomás de Torquemada, and if you know about the Inquisition, you've probably heard of Torquemada, headed up the tribunal. I kind of think Torquemada was sort of the Rasputin of Spain. You know, he had the ear of Isabel and pushed issues like this along until he got what he wanted. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he headed up the tribunal, and it was supposed to be to beef up the education of conversos, but 2 years later, in 1480, the Inquisition was formed, and Jews and Muslims were forced into ghettos away from the Christians, and Torquemada expanded the Inquisition to Seville. They rounded up about 20,000 people that they had labeled heretics, and these people were quick to confess because they didn't want to, you know, have any punishment or whatever. But they did give them punishment, and their punishment was to name other people that they thought were heretics. So by the end of the year, hundreds of conversos had been burned at the stake as heretics.
Mm-mm.
In fact, that was Torquemada's favorite method of execution.
Of course it was.
And these accusations were made in these big public events called auto da fe, where they put a cloth bag over their heads with a single eye hole cut into it. And if they didn't confess quickly enough, they were burned at the stake.
Wow.
But executions were only a part of what went on during the Inquisition. Torture was very commonly used in attempts to gain a confession from people. And the methods were really creative and often gruesome. Now, what am I saying? They weren't often gruesome. They were always gruesome. So here are the top six torture methods during the Spanish Inquisition, according to a list compiled by historycollection.com.
The top 10. Go.
I feel like I'm on the David Letterman show. But here we go.
The top 10.
That's the top six.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Top six.
Strappado was the first method used. I mean, it's the first one on the list.
Okay.
What's it that? Was pretty gruesome. The person that was accused of heresy would have their hands tied behind their back. Then a rope would be looped around their wrists and passed over a pulley. And then they'd be pulled up off the ground with their arms stretching behind their backs. Okay, just put your hands behind your back, people, and clasp them together and then pull them up as high as you can. And you can get an idea because when you stop, they were forced to go on farther.
Pop your joints like a chicken bone. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes weights were added, so it would be extra painful with the additional weight pulling them down.
Mm-hmm.
With this methods, shoulders were separated from the sockets. And if the accused jerked around trying to get free from their wrists and feet being tied together, they would often break their shoulders. And as you can imagine, if you put your hands behind your back and you tried lifting them up, that's excruciating pain. People witnessing this could obviously see their shoulders detached from their body and, you know, the ligaments stretching and popping. And a lot of them would confess on the spot because they didn't want that done to them.
Oh, my God. And you could hear it, too. Ah!
Yeah. And that's basically the reason they did it in public.
Snap. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To get lots of confessions all at once without having to work very hard for it.
I'm sure they all hit their knees, didn't they?
Usually this took less than an hour to get a confession.
I bet.
But there are no recorded deaths from this method. The victim, though, often had permanent nerve and ligament and tendon damage, as you can imagine. That was mild compared to some of them. But the next one is called toca, which is basically waterboarding.
They love their water now.
Toca is known to us these days, as I said, as waterboarding. And the idea behind it is to make the person feel like they're drowning so that they'll confess to end the torture.
Mm-hmm.
There were lots of ways to conduct this torture, but most commonly that the accused was strapped to a board, laying on their back, and a rag would be placed in their mouths and water would be poured over the cloth to make them feel like they're drowning. So I guess the cloth would fill up and then it would start to drip down their throats.
Mm-hmm.
And
can't get a breath.
Sometimes they did this for days and days until the person would finally confess. Now, at first, they would do a little water and then take a break so they could catch their breath. But then the two would kind of move inversely. It would be longer water and shorter breaks for them to catch a breath.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'd lose consciousness between sessions. And sometimes they did die as water filled their lungs because they went a little too long without a break.
Imagine that.
Now, with strappado, people witnessing would often confess, you know, willingly to anything they asked them to. And also with this, the same thing. And like we said, that's because it cut their work down. If they had people witnessing these things, they would say, heck yeah, I did it. I did it. I'm confessing, you know.
I'm sure it kept them in line. And then, you know, the gossip too. Y'all don't want to do that. No.
Right. So the next one is the rack. And I think most of us have probably heard of the rack before. I mean, it's kind of infamous, right? It's been around since ancient times.
Every sixth grader has read this in history.
Yeah, I would think so, probably, you know. But we've heard about being strapped down to a table and stretched. Like I said, this is from ancient times.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it was just used for plain old execution in the most painful way possible. They would fasten cuffs around your wrists and ankles and then attach those cuffs to chains. And then the chains would be attached to a wheel outfitted with a crank. And as they cranked that wheel, the chains would tighten up and the joints and ligaments and tendons would snap, crackle, and pop like the cereal. No, not like the cereal. I was just kidding. But if the session was long enough, the person would lose control of their bowels and other bodily functions, and the muscles would lose their ability to contract.
Well, yeah. Owie.
And the person would never be able to walk or use their arms again.
Wow.
Sometimes the table was actually a bed of nails, and as the rack stretched, the nails would puncture or scrape against the skin. Again, like other torture methods, other folks accused of heresy were used as witnesses, and they were quick to confess to anything. Whatever you want to accuse me of, yeah, I did it.
You betcha. You betcha. Yes.
If you were short and you wanted to be tall, this might be a good thing.
I don't know about that.
It said somewhere I read said that sometimes people who had been tortured this way but survived would talk about having to have new pants and shirts made because their limbs were longer than they used to be.
I'm not sure I'm buying that, but okay.
Next up is something called the Catherine wheel or the breaking wheel. It was originally intended as a method of capital punishment. But, you know, our wily Inquisitor General Torquemada thought it made a dandy torture device, too.
And why not? Give it a go.
Exactly. Why not try it out? Similar to the rack a little bit, but they used a wagon wheel rather than a table. Mm-hmm. And the person accused of heresy would be strapped across the wheel. Then they would be beaten with clubs and whatever else they could find. And those spaces between the spokes on the wheel would allow their bones to be broken when they were hit.
Oh.
And, and then they'd take them off the wheel just before they were dead. But by then, the bones were protruding from their skin, and they were permanently crippled.
Oh.
Now, this practice went on through the 19th century, so imagine, they were still doing this in the early 1800s.
That's awful.
And now we're to the hair shirt. This one doesn't sound so bad to me.
Comparatively?
Really. Yeah. The hair shirt was made out of woven animal hair. Mm-hmm. It was more like a vest than a shirt from the pictures I've seen, and it fastened around their neck and then under their arms.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it was called a sleaze or a sackcloth. And up against the skin, it was itchy and coarse and would basically drive you nuts. Mm-hmm. Now, Catholics often used these as a form of repentance during Lent. So for the 40 days before Easter, they'd wear these hair vests.
Right. I knew about
that. And sometimes they'd add things like twigs and rocks or metal to make it even worse.
Mm-hmm.
During the Spanish Inquisition, the hair shirt was used after a voluntary or post-torture confession. If a person was suspected of heresy, they could either confess their sin and wait for the Inquisition tribunal to charge them. They could use the hair shirt as their penance. After they confessed. And this happened mainly, evidently, in the New World, in the Spanish colonies. So the U.S., Mexico, South America, places like that.
Oh, my goodness.
For people that faced the tribunal, it was required that they publicly proclaim their devotion to God, Jesus, and the church. And this was their outward symbol that they had confessed their acts of heresy and would never be a heretic again. Now, they could be sentenced to wear it for just several hours in a public place, such as a market or square, or for several days. It was heavy, and it was hot.
Mm-hmm.
So in places where the climate was warm, like the New World, like here, it was miserable.
I can imagine. Ugh.
And the wearers would go without food and water forever how long they'd been told to wear the shirt.
Oh, wow.
And lastly, where to the torture chamber. And we've all heard of a torture chamber too, right? We've seen them in movies. If you've been to London, you've gone to the Tower of London maybe and seen the torture chamber there.
Oh, they're fun toys.
That's right. It's a windowless room usually, and there are cuffs on the walls that people hang from. And I'm pretty sure some people have these in their basements or their spare bedrooms, but I don't think they're used for the same purpose anyway.
You told me I couldn't talk about my boots, so you need to move on.
These rooms, though, were pretty useful for the Inquisitors because they could torture and hear confessions from several people at the same time. Oh, so they could speed up the process.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
Since there weren't a lot of castles and torture chambers in the New World, they usually did their inquisitions in public with witnesses, like we used to do public executions. You know, that was, again, an easy way for them to speed up their confession work by having people look at it and say, yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Now, that was the list from historycollection.com, but you know me, I had to add one more thing.
Go on.
And this was a method of capital punishment that was used during the Inquisition, and it was even used up into the 20th century.
Oh my goodness, what?
And that was the garrote.
Well, that's still somebody's favorite in many cultures.
Well, but it was, I mean, we think of a garrote, we think somebody taking a string or a wire or a rope or something and putting it around somebody's neck from behind and twisting it till they're choked, right? Well, that's not what this garrote was.
Oh, well, what is it?
In this one, they sat in a chair, and they had their legs tied to the chair and their hands tied in front of them and their head tied to a little thing in the back of the chair.
Oh.
And behind that was a screw.
Oh.
And it was positioned next to their spine and their neck.
Oh.
And they twisted and twisted and twisted this screw until it pierced the spine and the neck and killed them.
Oh, wow. That sounds more painful, I think, than any of the other stuff.
Yeah, that's why I saved it for last.
No! You're an evil woman.
I'm a ghoul.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's my show on the Spanish Inquisition. You have any questions?
I have to say, you know, nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Oh, jeez. I knew that was coming.
I'm sorry. I just had to. Well, I know there were tons of other disgusting things that they did, but, you know, those were the highlights. So
had to narrow it down to just a few to fit into our 15 to 20 minute schedule. So,
well, yeah, you know,
I'm sure there are many worse ones than that, but, you know, these are the ones I found. I just wanted to do the top six list. When I found it.
Well, I think that was a pretty good kind of Halloween-y kind of creepy story because that's what I'm always expecting to see when we go in these, like, you know, Madame Tussauds or, like you say, these different weird dungeons and stuff in the tower and all castles. You expect them to have all this awful stuff. And a lot of them do, as we've continuing to find out.
Everybody out there, if you ever make it to London, go to the Tower of London and let one of the little beefeater guys tell you the history of the Tower of London. And be sure to go down to the torture chamber and see all of the devices they used. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty. All of that's pretty interesting because, you know, people's imaginations just have no bounds. Well, thanks, Kim.
All righty then.
All right, bye.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When someone is hurt in a truck accident, the one question everyone has is, why did this terrible collision happen? To answer that question takes an experienced team of lawyers and experts. Not everyone has this type of experience. At Colombo Law, we are truck injury lawyers. It's what we do every day. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.